you listening to this?
You're talking crazy.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
To deal with these terrors, I need the high octane stuff.
Thank you, Carmichael Dave, for having me on. You're incredible. You're a gift and a treat to Sacramento, and you do great things, so I appreciate you.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
You don't know, David.
On the home of the two-time Summer League champion Sacramento Kings. Sports 1140 KHTK.
Let's begin the show by starting it.
I know we clarified your intent, Jay, but just so you know, today's poll, would you rather us talk about the game or the baby races? And there weren't even baby races yesterday, just baby races in general. 80% of this fan base would rather hear about baby races. That's how bad it is.
That's just a snarky Twitter crowd. Snark, I say.
1-800-920-1140. I told you last night. I told you this morning. By the way, Katie apologizes. There was a work/mommy thing that came up.
I told you.
She will join us some point later this week. She's fine. Everything's good. She's, you know, as much as I give her crap, she's very punctual and very responsible. There was just a thing, and I missed the text. So, hey, listen, we'll get. And besides, you know what? Weirdly enough, I'm kind of glad. I don't want to bring her into this.
You know what's crazy? We've been talking about the Kings all morning. They play tonight.
I know.
You know, we haven't even mentioned that.
They're playing in L.A. against the Clippers.
They got the good luck charm, though, tonight.
So how much are they going to win tonight by, Jay?
17, because friend of the show and diehard Kings fan Mike Barnbaum,
yeah,
at the game tonight.
Traveling.
We're good.
He's in the chat right now on YouTube where you can watch us, YouTube/KHDK. I told you everything was on the table. I told you this was a special episode of Kingsaholics Anonymous. 1-800-920-1140. We have one line open because you guys do want to talk. We're going to get to you. By the way, Clippers favored by 7.5 as of right now. And boys, that seems low.
I know you're going to go one. Actually, go ladies first. Go to three.
Go to three. Hey, fine with that. Nicole, welcome in. Good morning, Nicole. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
We've been better, but I think I speak for the whole fan base.
Agreed. Hey, I was just wondering about your take on Gentry's post-game comments and if you think there's any weight to a shakeup or something that's going to happen with our roster or somewhere along the way, and if you actually think that there's any weight to it.
Okay, and I appreciate the end of that where you said actually. I understand that because mm-hmm. we've been false started before. We thought there'd be a move by the deadline last year, a major move. We were sure there'd be a move over the summer, and granted, Buddy Hield almost got traded, and a lot of people thought there'd be a coaching change over the summer. There have been a lot of false starts
right.
with this club, including the Bogdanovich Bucks trade. I can tell you this. There is immense pressure externally and internally on Monty McNair. Barring this team suddenly reeling off 11-13, and you and I both know how likely that is, they're looking at major core changes very soon. And a lot, the only thing I can say to help a little bit is we're exactly 2 weeks away from December 15th, which is the trigger for a lot of things to happen with contracts that makes it easier to move people. So we may not see it tomorrow or the next day, but very much expect to see something. And by the way, Nicole was talking about any weight to Alvin Gentry's comments. Just in case you're just joining us, you're talking about the head coach 5 games into his career with the Kings as head coach, apologizing after the game.
I guess the very first thing I should do as a coach is apologize to the fans here. They don't deserve what they got tonight. The first half we were fine. We played great basketball and we moved the basketball, and I thought the pace of the game was great. The second half was a disaster and it was an embarrassment. And as the coach of this team, I want to apologize to every King fan out there, because you do not deserve this. You know, you deserve much, much better. And we'll find guys that will give you better, you know. Can't do that. You can't do what we did the second half. And, you know, the one thing we talked about before we came out was, we have to start establishing ourselves from a home standpoint. You know, on the road, we've been fine. I think we're 5-5 on the road. But we hadn't won home games, and it all starts with home games, really. excuse me, it all starts with home games. You know, you got to establish yourself at home. And then if you can do what we did on the road, that's what gives you a good year in this league. But to battle and have more road wins than home wins, your fans don't deserve that.
That's Kings coach Alvin Gentry. And I'll say it again, 11 home games, 11 road games. They have more wins on the road, and you have the best home court advantage in the NBA. Text line 916-339-1140, and then we're right back to the phones. This is a fair question, and I don't want to dodge it. I want to absolutely jump on this from the 209. I don't understand why you're blaming the ownership. These players have given up. The owners aren't on the court. It's a very fair thought. Let me explain. It's not binary. I'm not just blaming ownership. I'm saying they need to be in the conversation with Monty McNair and the players and the coaches and all.
Right.
It's like it's
everyone's accountable.
And
right?
I wish this person was on the phone because I would say, well, did you blame Luke? Because Luke Walton wasn't out there missing shots. Luke wasn't sulking.
Isn't it hilarious how there was such a vocal, like a really vocal part of the fan base that's just like, how do you expect this team to win with Luke Walton as the head coach?
Yeah.
And we said for 2 years, don't know if Luke Walton's a good head coach.
Don't know if he's
Luke
a good
Walton's
head coach.
Been put into some really bad positions as a head coach, and that's fair.
Correct.
I knew whether Luke was a good coach or not, it didn't matter given the roster makeup. It didn't matter.
I know this. I know that Luke, I know if we're going to use the analogy I love to use, I don't know if Luke's a good coach. I think most signs are pointing to the fact that he's not.
Right.
But I do know this. I know if Luke was a chef, he's proven he can cook with the right ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
He had filet mignon and creme brulee and crab legs in Oakland and went 31-4 with the Warriors, who coached themselves. Then you bring him to Sacramento. Again, let's use the chef analogy. Well, okay. Maybe he's not a great chef, but it's kind of tough to ask somebody to make a gourmet meal when you have Spam, saltines, castor oil, liver, and a chicken breast that's been in the fridge where it's getting that like pink liquid around it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, at some point, you have to have the right ingredients to be able to cook the meal. So that's not a defense of Luke Walton. That's an indictment of this roster. And when you say, why are you blaming ownership? Because ownership has to be in the conversation. It's not just ownership. You're right. They're not out there.
No, but they put the people in place that put these rosters together and make these hires.
The buck has to stop somewhere. If you're firing the coaches, you're firing the GMs, and you're trading the players, and you have this one constant, ask yourself this question. If you're looking at this as a business, if you're coming in and you're looking at this as any other business, don't you just kind of go through the history and say, well, they did this, they did this, mm-hmm. they did that, they did this, they did this, they did that. Okay, but what hasn't changed?
Right.
What has been the one constant? So everybody's in the kiddie pool together. That's all I'm saying. Everybody's in the kiddie pool together. I don't question ownership's want to win. I don't question that they're obsessed with winning.
Yeah, Vivek's not sitting courtside every night because he's bored.
You think Vivek's coming up here? He's flying up here from the Bay Area every night. He's watching the games. He's sitting there. And somebody asked me, well, is he there the whole? Yeah, he's always there the whole game. I've seen it. He leaves at the end of the game, and he watches it. He's right there front and center.
Doesn't exactly look happy when he's there either, for obvious reasons.
For obvious reasons. I don't question the want to win. But you know what? When expectations aren't shaking hands with reality, at some point, you can effort things all you want, but please don't mix efforts or will with results.
Right.
What's the results?
Dude, this is...
Bottom line.
Period. Sports are a results-based business. That's where it stops and starts.
Here's what I would ask Vivek, who has built multiple successful businesses. Multiple successful businesses. I would love to ask him this question. If you were coming in here and taking over this business, would you fire the ownership? If this was any other business and you were coming in and you purchased this business, what would you do with management? What would you do with ownership?
Would you oust the CEO, so to speak?
That's what I'm saying. So it's fair to have it as a part of the conversation. Jeremy, welcome in. Good morning, Jeremy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I guess I wanted to ask a question based on your answer to the first caller first, and that is, do you think you could put a finer point on when you say you think that there's most definitely going to be wholesale changes happening to the roster? I mean, when everybody is playing so poorly, who is it that you think ends up getting moved, and how does that make us significantly better?
I'd love to, Jeremy, I'd love to give you a specific answer. I'm not in the room, So I could give you the sports talk radio answer, and I could give you who I think they could move and what I think that I don't know what's out there, and I don't know who they're offering, and I don't know how it's going to work when it comes here.
But I think that I don't know who's out there thing is actually the bigger piece of the puzzle right now.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who's out there. Again, while we're over here in full-blown panic mode 22 games into the season, there's other teams that are normal and are still trying to assess their situations and probably are going to be assessing for another 20 games. So you can't exactly sit here and say, all right, December 15th is when you could start trading guys you signed in the offseason. Because, to your point, you need to know what's out there, and a lot of other teams are still trying to figure that out. What I will say is this, and I think this is the easy thing. We said it. There's going to be pieces of the core gone.
Sure.
So to me, here are the guys most likely to be traded. Mm-hmm. Buddy Hield.
Number one.
Harrison Barnes.
I would say Marvin Bagley, but yeah.
I don't consider him a core guy.
Buddy Hield, Harrison Barnes, Marvin Bagley, of course.
And then if the right offer is there for De'Aaron Fox, I just don't think it will be.
I agree.
So I think those two are two guys to look at, and maybe you heard their name buzzed around last year at trade time. You're going to hear it again.
Yep.
And I would even throw, hey, if the deal is right for the right player, either a Davion Mitchell or Tyrese Halliburton could also be packaged.
I think I get asked a lot, and Jeremy, thank you for the call. And I'm not avoiding the answers. I'm being honest with you. I don't know. It's okay to say I don't know. I don't want to blow smoke at you or the fan base.
Again, the don't know aspect comes. We found this out last year's a great example. Let's go back to that, right? We heard Harrison and Buddy's name at the deadline. Right. Harrison, we all thought was going to be dealt.
For sure.
But what happened? They ended up not liking any of the offers that was coming in for Harrison, so they kept him.
Right.
So it goes back to, we just don't know what is available out there. And last year, there just wasn't enough available, at least in Monty McNair's eyes, to justify moving Harrison Barnes. I don't know if that's going to be the case this year. Because, again, if the deadline passes and no core pieces are moved, what are you doing? What's the next step? Do you blow it up in the offseason?
Well, you just said there's no patience for that.
I know. But also, we do have to be fair to Monty McNair. It's not, he can't just sell for 50 cents on the dollar.
By the way, off the YouTube chat, somebody's saying, stop Monty bashing. There's no Monty bashing.
We're asking questions.
Nobody's been a bigger proponent or fan of Monty McNair publicly in this town than me. Nobody. But I'm telling you, his seat's getting warmer. It's a second season now. He's had two full summers, two drafts, and we basically have the same team we had last year, plus Davion Mitchell and role players.
Dare I say, this is still very much Vlade's core.
It is in almost entirely Vlade's core.
The only,
core.
I guess, core piece, and you could say core piece, I'll Tyrese? Put him in there. No, what I meant was that he moved off of from the Vlade era was Bogey.
Right.
And got nothing for him.
And got nothing for him. Of course, Monty's in there. That's my point. Nobody is untouchable. Nobody is not a part of the conversation. Everybody is in the mix. That's what we said. Ownership, GM, coach almost, even though, Alvin, whatever. Players, especially.
Yeah. Well, we saw the coach, and we said it. We've said it, right? You have to follow the patterns.
Yeah.
Coach is gone. The roster's next.
Yeah.
General manager's after that.
Chris, hello.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty good. Just going to say, first of all, I've been a Kings fan for a long time, and it's almost 20 years ago, my wife and I went to a game at the old Arco Arena, and one of the reasons I probably stuck with the Kings over the years is the basically the impression left by the fan base in Sacramento when we were out there. I know you guys love your team, and we love your team. We love the team, too,
Yeah.
And that's why, probably had plenty of opportunities to move on. But I know that when things do finally turn around, it is going to be so electric in Sacramento. And it's a special thing. You got a special thing there with your fan base there. Lot to your point, I agree that everyone has got a hand in why things are the way they are. And it just seems like to me over the years, problems compound. One bad decision snowballs to another bad decision. And then you're stuck with a bad hand of cards. And then it's, what do you do? I mean, it's going to be very tough even for Monty to, make the right moves to get things back on track just because of all the excess baggage I think he inherited. So to speak.
I don't. And by the way, thank
I,
you.
I think that's actually what he said at the end is a very fair point.
I think I appreciate his contribution on both sides. First off, he's 100% correct. When this team gets to 500, God forbid what they're doing in Phoenix.
500,
this,
right?
The roof will blow off this city.
500.
Which would be a failure for most of the other teams in this league. 500, oh my God. But that's like when you're walking to school in open-toed shoes in the snow your whole life and somebody gets you a bike. Like, that's a banner day. And to his point about Monty McNair, you're right. He's got a mess to clean up. But the cupboard's full, baby. You got all your draft picks. And we've said before, Sacramento Kings draft picks, maybe the most valuable draft asset in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You have De'Aaron Fox. You have Buddy and Harrison and Rashawn on very good contracts. You have Davion and Tyrese. You have an expiring Marvin Bagley. There's a lot to work with there. This is not a team devoid of assets on the shelf.
And I said this yesterday, and this is going to be kind of something I'm going to hammer this home until the trade deadline passes. If a star becomes available, whoever that is, I would be shocked if the Kings aren't just making full-blown just big-time offers, maybe, and probably overpaying. Because at this point, you don't have a choice.
You have to. You have to overpay. You just have to overpay and hope.
Overpay and hope. That's going to be the theme of this season.
And I'd love to see the phone records out of Golden 1 Center because I would really, really hope a lot of them have Philadelphia area codes.
Yeah, you still think that's the piece? I mean, it's a huge change. So
I think at this point, and by the way, to be fair, and you know this, I've been advocating for that since the offseason.
Right.
This is not something new or neither.
So same. I mean, we both have.
AC, what's up, man? Long time. Hello.
Hey, guys. Long time no talk. Your first female caller summed it up pretty well, but I personally like to thank you guys for having your 24/7 Kings counseling line. Mental health is an important issue in this country.
We are here for you, friend.
So let me ask you a question. This is a sports question that's related to the Kings.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's a possibility that there's some teams that even though you go through coaches and personnel, their mentality or culture just leans a certain way? For example, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. They haven't had a good running game since probably Larry Zonka, right?
Sure.
Do you think the Kings are just one of those teams, Dave, that just doesn't have a defensive mentality that can be transported from year to year? What do you think about that?
It's funny. Stay on the line here because I think it's an interesting conversation. I've oftentimes said it's funny how a lot of times teams through the years will take on the attitude of their city. Detroit, blue collar defense. Pittsburgh, blue collar running game. Lakers, showtime, fast paced. Clippers, Lob City, Dunks. So I completely hear you, even in the kind of illogical sense. I 100% hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying about the Dolphins. I mean, Marino had nobody. Marino's best running back was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, arguably, and I'm not making a joke there right. For the old heads.
Well, no, that's true.
What I would say to you is this. One thing that has made this even worse is that for in any ranking of ownership groups based on courts, there generally over the last 10 years has been a bottom three. Robert Sarver, who has his own issues now to deal with far off the court, James Dolan, and Vivek Ranadive. The difference is the Suns have now won 17 in a row, and the Knicks were in the playoffs last year and almost certainly will be in the playoffs next year. So here we are. We've got a situation in Sacramento where we're about to break the record for missing the playoffs for the most consecutive years in a league where over half the teams make the playoffs. We can't even get to 500 over the last 16 years. So you have to, by fact, it is not personal. It's not a personal shot. It's not a lie. It's not an emotional thing. We have the worst franchise and the least successful basketball operations and ownership in the NBA, including Sarver, including Dolan, when it comes purely to basketball operations. That's a fact.
Now, can I? Right. Now, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
So, an earlier caller made a good point that things snowball. Well, I love Alvin Gentry. I got his autograph in my office when he was assistant for the Suns. And I think he's a great coach. But
we at one time, you probably remember this, we could have had Monty Williams.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And instead we went a different direction, and Vlade, I love Vlade, but yeah, he jumped the gun, and we're stuck in this mire where now look at Phoenix. Monty Williams is a coach. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Sure.
Anyway, have a great day.
Hey, you too, buddy. Also Chris Paul. By the way, listen.
Chris Paul, good NBA basketball player.
By the way, let's not for one second give Robert Sarver, and as I said, is in a completely whole different category with his garbage. He gets no credit for the basketball operations other than he caught lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, that was a happy accident from his perspective.
They got the number one pick in the draft and still didn't even take the best or probably second or third best player in that draft, but DeAndre Ayton's good. They signed Chris Paul. They got the right coach. They got the right GM. That's all you can hope for in situations like ours, really, is you just catch lightning in a bottle. Bud, welcome in. Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
The thing I got to say is we all know this team sucks,
yep,
right?
Yep.
But since they've been in Sacramento, except for a short period of time, they've sucked.
Yep.
And the thing that bothers me, you said earlier, the most important thing is the team and the wins and losses. And I have to disagree.
Okay.
The most important thing is the team. If we don't have this team, we're not sitting here talking about anything.
Sure.
And while I'm not happy with the moves we've made, I'm not happy with ownership. I remember a time when Sacramento didn't have anything and we were on the Bay Area's jock.
Same.
And I don't want to go back there.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on. Wait, who's talking about that? Who's talking about going back there?
No, all these people, I don't want to go to games anymore. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to support the team anymore.
Gotcha.
Dude, I remember the year before we got Weber, what was our record? We were horrible.
Yep.
And we get Weber, and you hear, oh, we don't need that guy. He's a cancer. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do? Then we get Vlade. Oh, we overpaid. Of course we overpaid. And then the next year, or 2 years later, we trade away White Chocolate, and everybody's going, whoa, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. He brings excitement. Why are you drafting this Serbian? He can't play for 2 years.
Right.
We got to take what we can have, and I'm happy to have a team. I'm not happy where we're at, but I'm happy that I can call on a Tuesday morning or a Wednesday morning and talk about NBA basketball that's from Sacramento. And if we stick with this, good things are going to happen. We're a small market. If we get a winning team every 20 years, great. I wish we were in it every year, but we're not. Milwaukee won it last year. How long did they suck?
Let me ask you this, but hold on, bud. Hold on. Stay on the line. Yeah. I don't like sports talk radio where, like, the caller says the thing and then the host says, I want to interact with you for a second because I think you said a lot of interesting things, dude. So, number one, I'm with you, man. Like, I've said this before. My dad would take me once a year to go see the Celtics play the Warriors before we had the Kings. It's some of my earliest memories. I get the days before we had a team. And obviously, we all know from the Seattle thing, we understand having this team. And, of course, even this is better than no team at all. You and I are 100% on the same page here. But what I would add to that is that I think we as fans have a right to demand quality for our money, for our – I say our. I get paid to cover this team. I'm sticking up for everyone else. For your money, for your time, for your emotion – I'm not into the whole, hey, they're here, so I'm going to support them no matter what. No, you have to earn our loyalty. And by the way, you're starting way ahead of the game with us. You have to do a lot to this fan base to get them to turn off a game or to get pissed at this team. I think there's a happy medium, my man, between the two.
I remember the days when they were here after, what, year three, year
yep.
four.
Yep.
And I would hear people going, hey, I'm going to the Kings game.
Yep.
But I'm going to see Magic.
Yep.
I'm right. going to see Kareem. I'm going to see Ralph Sampson and Elijah Wan. But we never turned on our team. We weren't there cheering, let's go Lakers.
But can I step in here real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Thank
go
you
ahead.
For the call, bud. And I get what he's saying. I understand that it's an old school fan.
Also, wasn't King saying let's go Lakers. That wasn't King's
fans. No, I just want to kind of address this. And it's a very Sacramento thing in some respects. It's okay with being – you're okay with mediocre just because it's here instead of expecting – it's kind of like the city prior to the Golden 1 Center being built. We were just happy to have Arco Arena. We don't need a new arena. Nah, dude, that arena was antiquated. It was mediocre. We deserved something better. And we got it. The roster is the same thing. This isn't 1985 anymore. The fan base and everyone deserves better. Mediocre is not okay anymore.
Isn't it kind of like being in a loveless marriage?
Yes.
And you just stay together for the kids?
Dude, that's exactly what he was describing.
Together for the kids.
It was the first 3 or 4 years. I'm married. Yeah, but the marriage has continued to suck. At what point do you look at it and be like, okay, we can either fix it or we can get a divorce?
Every time you go upstairs, your spouse is pretending to sleep. You guys are polite.
Yes.
You're here for the kids and the finances, but you have a right to demand a spark.
Yes, 100%.
All right. Not that I would know anything about that. We'll take a break.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
Thank you for the call, Bud. And that was his name, Bud.
That's his actual name.
I see you guys on the line at 1-800-920-1140. We're here for you. We are always here. The lines are always open. You're just using them at this point to vent. We love it. We'll get to more of your phone calls next.
One is bald. The other completely lacks talent. And they're both here to entertain you. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHCK.
You know, it puts a smile on my face on a day that it's tough to smile because of this team that it never fails. You know, the phone lines are always open. That's the truth. We won't take calls during a guest, but pretty much any other time we'll try to fit you in. And when I'm sitting here, I come back in, we've got full phone lines. And I want to get to every one of you. It speaks to my heart as a former caller to this station when I see the passion. The passion for this team that has given you so little, yet you continue to give so much back. Hi, Sean. Welcome in.
My uncle's from another mother, man. My brother's behind the board. So I love the whole loveless marriage metaphor, man, so I'm going to run with it. Sometimes all you need is a little cosmetic fixing, man. I think what they've done so far with Monty McNair adding these new young cats, I think all that is good, but we need some liposuction, man. We need some collagen injections, brother. We need a new coach.
Some Botox, maybe?
Lame duck coach situation. Yeah, some Botox, you know, a little, you know, go from a C to a D up top. We just need them to do something to show the fans they're committed, man.
Sean, let me come back at you. Let's extend this analogy, though, because you mentioned the coach. And I'm not saying Gentry's the guy, but don't you also have to kind of be careful? And I don't want to use the wife because I want to use the husband. Let's say the husband in this marriage says, okay, you know what? I'm going to go hit that tonal machine and I'm going to get rid of this beer gut. Okay. But what if the problem in the marriage, we focus on physical because it's what we look at. And I think that's part of the problem. It's not, I don't think it's cosmetic. I think the problem in the marriage is that it's loveless and no amount of working out or eating right or getting a new haircut or some cool glasses or some nice threads. That's all cosmetic when the heart is blackened.
Jesus.
I hear you. I hear you, Dave. But so let's lay down on the sofa right now and let's bring somebody who knows this relationship the best. Doug Christie, man. He's seen this relationship both as a player and as a part-time coach and as a commentator. The fans love him. He's the last remaining shred of dignity that we have left from that era, you know, after the mess that was Vlade Divac and Paige and everything else and Bobby J. I mean, Bobby J. is still doing his thing, but Doug knows this team, man. He's seen all these new players come on board. He's been coaching them up on the side. I just don't understand why Alvin got this gig, man. He's been washed out of how many other NBA organizations, and I'm not knocking him because it sure as hell looks a lot better on offense once in a while compared to what Luke was running out there. But we need something else, man. The fans need something else. If we're going to pay this $49 for 10 random tickets throughout the year, we need something else, Dave.
Sean, do you like Doug Christie?
I love Doug Christie.
You love Doug Christie? Do you respect
Doug? The man has heart.
Do you respect Doug Christie?
Beyond words.
Why would you want to do this to him then?
I feel like he's the guy, man.
You know, what in the history of this franchise has shown you that a guy who's been on an NBA bench for about 20 minutes, and that's no disrespect to Doug, he works his ass off. I'm just saying, what you saw what happened to Vlade. Vlade was as beloved, if not more, on the same page as Doug and Peja and Weber. And now Vlade, if he walked into Golden One Center tomorrow, he'd get booed by half the team. Why would you possibly, loving and respecting Doug, why would you possibly want to do this to him?
because I think Doug is built for this, man. I think Vladdy had everything in his heart, but I don't feel like he had the expertise. I'm not saying Doug has a long history in the NBA and everything like that. He's never been a coach before or anything like that, but he's been learning, man. He didn't just get plucked out of anywhere and just put on the Sacramento bench. He's been here for now, what, 5-6 years now? He's been seeing this thing grow. He's been soaking up all the game, and I feel like he's ready for it. And then when you got guys like Monty McNair, when you got guys like I'm spacing on his name now, one of the bad boys in the front office
to help
guide the way.
Joey D.
When you got those fellas in the front office to help lead the way, then why not, man? And it's no shot to Alvin Gentry. He's doing the best he can with what he has around him. But we need fresh blood, man. Just look at what Jay Kidd did for the Milwaukee Bucks, man. I mean, he didn't end up getting the title over there, but he helped lead those guys, man. He was an inspiration to what Giannis has become, and Giannis will be the first one to tell you that. So when you got guys like De'Aaron looking defeated, don't even look like they care no more during the press conferences, you got to inject some life in them, man. And what better life, more life, than my guy, Doug Christie, man. The guy has been nothing but heart and nothing but energy the entire time he's been with Sacramento. We got to pay that debt.
I love Doug. I love Doug. If Doug was a religion, I'd go to church on Sundays, but I'll give you four reasons. Michael Malone is now coaching the Denver Nuggets to a perennial contention. George Karl, one of the winningest coaches of all time. Dave Yeager turned around a Memphis program and washed out of here. Luke Walton went 31-4 with the Warriors. At some point, and by the way, those coaches aren't all on the same level. Don't mistake me putting Luke Walton on the same level of Mike Malone. I hear you. It's not the coaches. We've tried to hint at it. We've tried to say it a little bit here. It's not the coaches. Now, having a bad coach ain't going to help. It's not the coaches.
It's a much deeper issue than coaching.
Much deeper issue. Hello, Roger.
Hello. I'm gonna make a statement that, you know, might get me blocked. But when you come from a winning tradition, and I do, I come from Grant High School. I also come from Boise State University. If you hear just those two names, you think winning. You think, and it didn't matter to coaches. It came down to the players. Now, you mentioned these other coaches, but I personally think that they should have never brought in anything from Arco Arena, and that includes Doug Christie, any of the coaches, any of the announcers. Just flush all of that back and go forward. But what they did is they brought relics with them, memories, and most of the memories were choking under pressure. And that's what you're looking at. I mean, Malone has a great team. He has some great ball players. Luke benefited from the Warriors. He wasn't a great anything. And this guy Gentry, he's just being made a scapegoat. This is one of the worst teams ever. And by the way, if it wasn't for Vivek Ranadive, you wouldn't have a team in Sacramento.
That's not true.
But that I think that was a – are you telling me the Kings would have been here without Vivek Ranadive?
I'm saying we don't know. We don't know if – and I'm not trying to take any credit.
Yes, we do.
I'm trying to answer the question. I'm saying Vivek stepped up when Ron Burkle stepped out, and that was a huge thing. And I will be forever indebted to Vivek as a fan and as a person. But you and I don't know if somebody else wouldn't have stepped in. Let's not act
it. Well, it was at the last minute. As a matter of fact, Burko didn't have the money. Vivek had the money.
Right, Roger. No, it wasn't. Ron had the money. Ron's richer than Vivek. It was because, listen, I was there. It's because Ron.
Well, what happened?
It's because Ron Burkle had his agency. And it was a conflict of interest because they had NBA players on there. He didn't want to divest himself from the agency.
It's always an excuse for the Kings fans.
It's not an excuse. I'm just answering the question. Now, I'm not taking – hold on. I'm not trying to make this acrimonious. I'm not taking credit away from Vivek. I'm saying the honeymoon is over. The investment has been rolled back three times. They have tripled.
Okay, what about leaving the Arco Arena – personnel and all of that, leave that at Arco and bring in a fresh regime.
I mean, you still have coaches that
are coaching on the, when I look at the Kings bench, I go, what, I mean, where's the new ideas? Where's the new blood? Where's the new injection? When you look at Boise State University, you...
I can't do that. We got to do one some Blue Moon. Boise State. When I think of Boise State University, I think of Blue Field.
Same.
Once in a Blue Moon. Thank you, Roger.
Once in a Blue Moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
Yeah, I'm going to do one for an old bud that called in last segment.
Uh-huh.
On this day, December 1st, 1993, the Sacramento Kings.
Boise State.
Sacramento Kings.
Sacramento Kings.
Stay with me here. Lost at home to the lowly Minnesota Timberwolves by a final score of 101-111. So lost by 10. Why am I plucking this random
game out of obscurity? Yeah, why are you plucking this
random
game? Right.
Because we're talking about effort, and that team lost by 10, but they played with effort. You know how I know?
How?
They dressed seven guys. They dressed seven players and played all seven of them. And God, this was your starting lineup that night. At guard, Bobby Hurley and Randy Brown. At forward, Lionel Simmons and Walt Williams with Mike Plaplowski starting at center. Wayman Tisdale and Spud Webb off the bench. And damn it, they at least put the ball in the basket and tried. You had 25 points from Walt Williams, 25 points from Wayman Tisdale, 21 from Lionel Simmons. Mike Plaplowski played 30 minutes.
Hey, Mike Plaplowski.
Best known for?
Best known for pulling Bobby Hurley
That's
out.
That's right.
Yep, I always remember Mike Plaplowski being a hero on, what was it, Del Paso Boulevard. Ooh, my goodness, that was a
scary
time.
This isn't the same night, is it?
What?
December 1st, 1993.
If it is, dude, it goes into the top three of Jay-isms. You better
Let's
check
take
that
a
during
break
the break,
check
please.
That.
We'll take a break. Yeah.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
When I think champion, I think Boise State. Roger, you're welcome back anytime. I don't agree with most of what you said, but I love the passion.
I appreciate the conversation.
And I appreciate the conversation. I really do. And by the way, don't get it twisted. Full respect and all that to Vivek and the ownership group. Let's not rewrite history there. And if you're going to stand in front of the man, get his name right, would you? It's not Vivek. It's Vivek. Just, you know, minor things. We'll wrap the show up with your phone calls next.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
On tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by
Apathy.
Apathy. You know what? Every time I think there's apathy, and there is, y'all, how many times are Kings fans just going to step up to the plate? How many times are they going to get kicked right in the face and still wag their tail? How many times are they still going to show up? And even if they're pissed, even if they hate everything, even if they, and rightfully so, are frustrated, they're still on the message boards, they're still on Twitter, they're still on Facebook, they're still on these phone lines. Nothing fires me up more than when this fan base is disrespected, and they were disrespected last night. Alvin Gentry apologized for it. They were disrespected by the play on the floor. They were disrespected by the Laker fans chanting. I don't fault the Laker fans. Tip of the cap. I hate it. Tip of the cap to Laker fans. You took over Golden 1 Center last night. Only way to combat that is to win.
It's true.
Tip of the cap. I got nothing against Laker fans last night. They showed up on the broadcast with their jerseys in the background.
I'll tell you this. They were...
I hate them.
If you were to do it from a quantitative standpoint, it was about a third Lakers fans, two-thirds Kings fans.
Yeah, but most of them, as you said, went home.
Well, not.
There.
But even before that, the Lakers fans were way more vocal than the Kings fans were.
Sure. I had more to be vocal about. Let's get back to the phone calls. I want to finish you guys off before we end the show. Ew.
Wow.
Jeremy. Yeah, I know. It's that kind of day. Hello, Jeremy. I know.
Hey, I'm calling back again because I wanted to ask about something that
more
you guys
punishment.
Were talking about in terms of in terms of mediocrity. I guess I'm just wondering, where do you think that sense of acceptance of mediocrity comes from, and why do you think it impacts people so quickly when they come to Sacramento? I mean, if you're in the NBA, presumably you're coming from a winning program. You've been considered an excellent, you know, an excellent athlete, an excellent basketball player.
Yep.
So, I mean, we have talent here, right? I mean, everybody's like you guys always say, everybody's getting paid to play and paid to win. So why is it that night in and night out, it feels like, or not night in and night out, but every other game feels like they're okay with shooting 22%. Like, where does that come from, and how do we get rid of that?
Easy answer. culture. And let me explain. Once upon a time, Vernon Maxwell came to Sacramento and revived his career. Once upon a time, John Barry came to Sacramento and revived his career. Doug Christie's best years were in Sacramento. Sacramento saved Chris Webber's career, and he's a Hall of Famer because he played in Sacramento and obviously matured and worked and all that. Sacramento, during our best years, was known as a place that would revitalize players. Bobby Jackson was in Denver, I believe, or Minnesota, one of the two. I think Denver.
Played for both franchises before coming to Sac.
Was nowhere near what he was in Sacramento. And players came to Sacramento and got better. And they, a lot of times, went elsewhere and got richer. It's culture, and it works the other way. And it's not market. It's not money. Look at San Antonio for all those years. What did they have? They had Popovich and Parker and Duncan and Robinson and Ginobili. Culture. Mm-hmm. Culture. That's why it's always funny when you say, well, we passed on this guy. We passed on that guy. Maybe. And yes. I don't know the Kawhi Leonard's Kawhi Leonard in Sacramento. Dame Lillard in Sacramento.
I think there's a bread of athlete.
Sure.
In all sports. Basketball specifically, though, because it's more individualized because of how, you know, short in the right, you have five guys playing on the court at the same time.
Right.
Some guys are just killers. Dame's a killer. Dame was going to be successful in an all-star no matter where he landed. Now, obviously, the situation's going to dictate how much better.
Yeah.
Dame Lillard still would have been an all-star in Sacramento. And Dame Lillard's a killer. And when you talk about culture, mm-hmm. this team's never had a killer. Even in its best years, they never really had a killer. And this roster is talented. This roster needs a killer. Like, that's how bad the culture is, in my opinion. Like, it's a complete 180, right?
Yep. Isn't it always we should make wristbands that say WWJBD?
Would John Barry do?
What would Jimmy Butler do?
Oh, Jimmy Butler's a killer.
What would Jimmy Butler do with this? What would Jimmy Butler do in a couple practices with this squad?
I think.
How many of the current roster members would leave crying?
Oh, I don't even think they'd be able to leave. They'd be so scared they'd be in a corner in the fetal position, not being able to move.
Danny, welcome in. Danny, hello.
Dan? Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
It's the enough thing. It's just this enough thing. It's just been years. It's building and building and building. And this season just.
Hold on, Danny Williamson in England, Danny?
That's me, Dave.
Hey, buddy. Hey, okay, I got you. What's up?
It's a king of a whole different color.
Danny is in England right now where I believe it's currently 4 o'clock, almost 5 o'clock in the afternoon, calling in. That's passion. Go ahead, Danny. The floor is yours, buddy.
Well, I just sat and watched the game, and, you know, when tip-off starts, we forget it. When tip-off starts, we're ready to go. We love this team. And then at the end of the game, and for the next couple of days, we have that sick feeling in the pit of our stomach. And it's just been building and building and building, you know, since Daniel down there, since Christ knows who. And I'm just sick and tired of it. It just hurts different now. I don't know why, but this season is hurting more than it has done before.
How many times have you made the trip over here to watch the team, Dan?
I flew over in 2013 to Toronto. I flew over in 2016 when we hung out briefly for the opening of the Golden One.
Yep.
I flew out in 2019, I think, to Detroit and got to see Buddy's miraculous Motown Miracle.
Buddy Ball Call game.
Which was good.
Run Buddy. Run.
Yeah. Yep. When you watch the highlights back, I'm still there in the jersey screaming and shouting at Detroit fans. Then I went to Toronto again. Because it's my most local game. Mm-hmm. Then last year, 2020, just before COVID hit, I flew to Sacramento. I saw two games at home against the Magic and the Mavericks. So two losses, which just, those were horrible losses too. And then the worst game I've ever been to, I flew to Salt Lake City and saw us get demolished by the Jazz. It was awful. It was the most awful game of basketball. I've seen many, many games. I've sat on the bench with Nick Nurse for years because he used to coach with me in Brighton. We've hung out with Chris Finch because Chris Finch was in Sheffield. And, all the games I've ever been to, that one killed it. And then we've not got better since then. I believe we're the best. I think we're going home court advantage every offseason. you know, they don't change anything. They don't change the coach. Always bring in Xavier Mitchell. I'm thinking, yeah, we could get 60. And here we are now, just floundering like a fish out of water.
It's Danny Williamson from England. Thank you, Danny. We're out of time, but I wanted to give you the floor. That's a perfect way to end the show.
Yeah.
You got a guy who's in England who's flown over here 6, 7, 8 times and given his money, his time, his effort, his heart, and he's fed up.
But he said something that really struck a chord with me there. He said this year it hurts different.
It does.
And I thought that was very telling.
It does. I said at the beginning of the season, Jay, this team is different. I was right.
Yeah.
For Jay Mars, and especially for all of you that were a part of the show, it is our honor and pleasure to be able to be an outlet for you. I love you all. You deserve better. Kings Clippers tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye now.